This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good evening, listeners. So this whole month we've been speaking about couples in restoration. So whenever there's a hurt or a hang-up or a problem in a relationship for couples, and especially when there's an addiction, the effect that it has on the relationship and what people can do, because obviously it causes a lot of problems.
And Suki, in the first broadcast of the month, the first Tuesday, we were talking about some of the danger signs that indicate that something needs to be done. And so please, listeners, go and get to that podcast and listen to those danger points and evaluate your relationship and see perhaps it needs some attention.
Or send the podcast to someone, some of your friends that you know that might struggle with that. And so the address of that is www.kpulpit.co.za/podcast/into-me-see. So please be sure to do that. And then also the last two programs, we had spoken to a couple that shared their restoration journey. And it's a couple that have a problem with porn addiction. So also if you know another couple that might have issues with that, you know, so many people think it's okay. Hey, Frederick, I'm surprised in this culture that we live in.
Yeah.
Even Christian people, and I think we, when we were younger and we were devoted Christians, we were mixed up about this because you always think you're not allowed to look at these things. And it's, I mean, it's online, it's all over, it's on Netflix. And then what do you do now? You're now married. Now you can, you know, now you can watch these things. Beforehand, you couldn't do that.
And you think because the age restriction is a lot below your age, it's okay to watch it. And I think, Suki, that is, if I think back on my addiction and perhaps eventually our addiction, it started with watching movies that were 18 rated and that had very graphic scenes. And I think that just laid, continued to build on the foundation that had already been laid there as a young child and as a baby.
And I remember that I asked other Christian couples whether it's okay to watch that. And she said, yes, that's fine, you're married. But we never realized, you know, some people that are prone to addiction, some people could watch these things. It's not good for you because you allow these things. The Bible says we need to be careful about what we watch and what stays in us. But for other people that struggle, that have some, they have a predisposition,
addictive tendencies,
predisposition towards addictions, that could take hold just like that. And they wouldn't even know they're in the process of getting addicted to these things.
And especially in the beginning, Suki, it doesn't look like an addiction. And that was very much the case for myself. Is I thought, oh, well, it's not so frequent. It's maybe once a year. And then it became twice a year. And then it became twice every 6 months. You know, so the process is a very slow, subtle approach into the addiction.
And often people, when they come for help for addictions, they are in their 30s or 40s or 50s.
Yeah.
Because it takes such a long time before it really becomes an issue. It's just a subtle thing that people, that is socially acceptable, like with alcohol especially, where people think they go and have a good time. But the Bible says, do not get drunk on this, get drunk on my spirit, right?
Yes, yes.
And the Bible tells us not to look at things that are not good for us. I know there's a verse that you have.
Yeah, watch your hearts, guard your hearts, and that the eyes are the windows of the soul. So whatever we allow into our eyes, that goes down to our soul.
Our heart.
And goes down to our hearts, yeah.
And what we don't realize, that's why the Bible says we need to look at what's good and what's lovely and wholesome. Because if we don't, we actually, especially through a story, you know, there are things that we know, this is wrong and this is right. But when we watch a lot of stories, especially series on these topics, and we keep on exposing ourselves to it, then we become used to it and we become numb to it. And it affects our walk with Christ.
Absolutely.
We need to be very careful. Frederick and I now are careful not to watch anything of a rating that's more than 13. If it's 16, we're very careful to look. I mean, even though we are so much older, we just know there are certain things that are not good for us to watch, to look at.
And Sukhi, it's not only people that are struggling with sexual addiction or a sexual struggle. Some may think I'm not addicted sexually, but there is some form of struggle with that. But it's also for people that are facing some other behaviors and habits like gambling and exercise. And then, of course, then the substances that also draw us away from intimate, close relationships with ourselves, with others, and with God.
You mean addicted to exercise? Eh? Because if you just say exercise, there's nothing wrong with a lot of these things.
Mm.
But it's how frequently do it, what do we expose ourselves to, and all those things.
Mm.
So if you have not watched or listened to those two episodes, the first one, they spoke about the problem, how it started, and the second one, they spoke about the help that they were able to get. And this is what we want to do in this program also, to summarize a little bit of the help and to encourage you. There are so many people that get divorced so easily when there's addiction. I think, and I know how many times when I told people when you were in the height of your addiction and I would told someone, they would say, but why didn't you divorce him?
Yeah.
But that's not always the answer. And in the first place, the Bible doesn't want us to divorce.
Yeah.
We're not saying that, you know, there are people that really get to a place where they need to get to that, where they need to divorce. But people divorce so easily.
Mm.
And if the root of the problem is not addressed, that problem will continue.
Yeah. If couples think, or maybe the couple, that the person that in the coupleship that is not addicted says that they're going to divorce because then they can get rid of the problem. The problem is very often that same person marries somebody that has the same type of struggle. And the person who is the addict or is struggling with an addiction, they in turn marry somebody again that they carry the problem with to. That person may be controlling or codependent. So they just redo the cycle.
We see that a lot in counseling, where people come to us after they had been married twice or three times. And every time they would marry a similar person without realizing. So that's why it's crucial that we get to our own recovery.
Yes.
Even if you're not the person with the addiction.
You need
help. If you were married with another, then there are many groups that you can go to online, like Al-Anon. Like friends and families, members of people
alcoholics,
who struggle with alcohol, ACA, adult children of alcoholics, often children that are carrying, you and me are children of alcoholics.
Yeah, yeah.
I was part of a children of alcoholic group myself for a long time, and it really, really helped me.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the Christ-centered groups that we always talk about in this program, because that's what you want to do. You want to go to the Christ-centered groups, the Celebrate Recovery that we talk about. Those are the kind of groups, 12-step groups, that can help you to work through these things and can get to a place of healing and restoration. And then, of course, there's counseling. Hey?
Yes, we are talking now about individuals. So as individuals, we need to embark on this journey. But very importantly, if we want our coupleship, our relationship as a couple to endure and to sustain a reasonably healthy coupleship, we need to do some things and we need to go out and reach out for help from people who know about that specific addiction. In other words, a struggle specific person that understands that. because that is where we will find, we can find help, and where restoration can start taking place.
And we need people in churches that can talk openly about this. And I know it's very difficult because this beautiful couple that we had spoken to in the previous program, they told us that there was a couple in their church that were exposed to some of these other groups or fellowships we just spoke about, like Al-Anon, ACA, or... And because of that, they helped them and gave them the right advice. Because often, you know, pastors can be wonderful, and some of them know about addiction. They have experience of working with addictions. Then they can help you. But all pastors don't always know about this and have experience. And then sometimes couples who are struggling can get very despondent because the help they get are not helping them. Just remember, you keep going. You don't, if you don't get the help you find, keep looking. There's always other places where you can find help. But we want to encourage you. There is help. And we will talk more about this just after the break.
Suki, I'd like us to start focusing on, why do I need help? Because sometimes we don't know, or we don't realize we need help. So what are the signs or the symptoms of we need help?
And then also, where can you get the help?
Yes, after the break. Yeah, so listeners, welcome back. And just before the break, we were talking about individual and couples that need to reach out for help beyond themselves. And there were just some symptoms or reasons we identified. Why do we need help?
When in a strained relationship, right?
Yeah. So this is when we are talking, when you feel or experience something is not right in our relationships. At least one of the couples have that feeling or that experience.
These are the red lights. So I can maybe jump off with the first one. That is a lack of mutual responsibility. It's something that often happens in a relationship where one person is addicted or one person has got more a bit of an addicted personality. It's often the other person that will take responsibility for the relationship. One person would not really take, they would not care about the relationship, but the other one would do everything they can to save it or to fix it or to help it to get better. And the other one will say, no, what's your problem? There's not a big, I don't have a problem. But remember, if one person has got an issue that's an ongoing issue in the marriage, there is a problem. It becomes the couple's problem if one person has a problem. The one partner can't just say, no, I don't have a problem. If your partner has a problem, then you need to listen and hear what the problem is. And say, okay, I hear that. And because that's so important, we didn't learn to respect each other. That's what respect is. If you say you feel something, I listen and I hear and I care about that problem because it's a problem for you.
And Suki, when we are talking about taking responsibility, it does not mean we are trying to fix the relationship or we are trying to say, do this and do that and you need to do this and then I will be in a happy, happy relationship. But it is taking responsibility in not helping where help is not needed and supporting and encouraging when it is appropriate.
And getting help if there's help needed, if there are ongoing problems that can't be solved. Because often, unfortunately, the person that says there's not a problem doesn't want to reach out for help. It's often the one that's struggling with the problem that says, let's get help.
And I think sometimes what we've also heard from our counselees is that it's not my problem. He's got the problem or she's got the problem. She better do something about this. But it's when you start working as a couple that both take responsibility for what is theirs and not for what is the other person's responsibility.
Yeah, we're very good at trying to get the other person to sort out the problem, right? But we cannot. We can only change from our side ourselves. We cannot, and not alone, with help. I need to ask God every day to please help me with my issues because I cannot fix it, Frederick.
Yeah. No,
I don't have the power to fix that. Only God can change me. So that was also a problem. When I realized I had a problem, I tried to fix me. And there's something in the Bible that that might encourage us to do that, not meant that we misinterpret. Like the Bible talks about self-control. So I just think, well, I need to have self-control. Then this problem will be solved. But it's still not solved.
Yeah.
And I keep trying. And then it's actually self-strife. When I realize I'm struggling with something, that I keep on struggling, I need to ask God because I cannot fix myself. Yeah, only He can change me.
That's trying in our own strength and our own will and our own power. And then until we start realizing I'm powerless, and then we can hand it over and surrender it to Jesus, and He can make the changes in our lives. But Sukina, one of the other issues that can show that there's a problem is that one feels safer with others rather than being alone with your partner.
With others or with other things,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah. So it could be in your hobby. You feel safer in your hobby than sitting alone with your partner. And there's a common awkward silence, and you don't know what to talk about. That is one of the signs.
So one person starts avoiding the other one.
Mm.
And then also enmeshment. I think it's really important for us to talk about enmeshment. We thought that enmeshment means love.
Yeah.
We thought we love each other so much. We like the same things. We do the same things. We're happy about the same things. We're sad about the same things. But it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I mean, that was exactly the pattern of our early relationship, our early marriage relationship.
And we never disagreed.
Yeah.
We didn't have conflict because everything was wonderful.
Yeah. And I mean, I think Ruan and Teresa also were sharing that they didn't have conflict, so they had the perfect, ideal relationship. So all that it meant actually was we were not able to deal with conflict. We were not able to engage and talk and communicate about an issue or something that had a difference. So dealing with conflict is very important.
And then later we get very annoyed or frustrated about small little things. And we start fighting about that, but not about the elephant in the room, not about the real issue, because we don't know how to deal with real issues, right?
Yeah.
And then it starts popping out in the small jackals.
Yeah, one of our friends was saying that in their relationship, if there's a big elephant in the room, they just go to the next room and hope that the elephant disappears.
Yes, yes. Another one that I think is also very common. Oh, so, and that's a process for that enmeshment to be untangled. For you are you, and you like certain things that I don't like.
Yeah.
We are all from different backgrounds. And to handle conflict, not only to learn. I remember we learned the rules of conflict, but we could still not apply it. We didn't know how to apply it. We struggled with conflict forever. We're still difficult because both of us are conflict avoiders. I do a little bit more conflict than what you do. But it's still hard. We don't like conflict. And it's easier to keep quiet about something than to talk about it. But it's a process that you need to get help in counseling from Christian counselors that can help you to be your own person. And then for you, each one is whole. And then together, you can be one in your relationship. But not if you half and you think the other person will compliment you, and then you're not strengthening your relationship, you're actually weakening it. And it feels so good. It feels like, oh, we're all fine.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work like that.
Now, I think that is when we are in denial of the root issues, okay? And that is we maybe have a fear of abandonment or rejection. So we're getting down to the root of the issue. Why do I go to something to numb or to medicate?
Right.
And what are some of the others, Suke?
Another one is a big problem is also that when we think being sexual is equal to being intimate.
Mm. And I think so often people say, we were intimate last night, and what they meant is that they had sex, but perhaps it was the very furthest thing from intimacy. It was perhaps just a mechanical or just a normal relationship, but it was void of intimacy because on many other levels.
Because they didn't speak about how they feel. They didn't really speak connected deeply with each other in spirit and in soul with their emotions. That is so important.
But what can couples do, Sukhi?
Just before we get to that one, there's one more I want to say. It's often when partners can't play together anymore, when there's so much conflict. But I agree with you, Frederick. We really need to get to what can people do. There are many things people can do. Mm. They can go. There is help. We want to encourage you. You are not alone. Don't try and fix this problem by yourself.
It doesn't work.
Of course, you will eventually, initially. Mm. But if you see you can't, you need to reach out.
Yeah.
There are counselors that can help a person. And I know it's not easy to get the right counselors. To go to Christian counselors, very important. And then someone that knows, that specializes in the problem. People struggling with addictions must go to counselors or psychiatrists or psychologists who specialize in addiction. That's very, very important.
Or a therapist. Okay.
Also, that specializes in that. Frederick, do you want to mention some of it?
You know, attending a meeting, attending a support group in which you as individuals can share openly and vulnerably without being judged or condemned. Mm. And then as a couple, to join a meeting where you as a couple can share about the struggles you have as a couple in a safe environment.
Absolutely. We need to get into a situation where we can each look at our own issues.
Mm.
Because it doesn't help to keep looking at each other's issues and try to fix the other person. That does never work. It just gets so much worse in the process, hey?
And then when the couple is in some difference or conflict, is for one of them to call a timeout.
Mm.
Is I need a little space for so many hours, so many minutes, so many days, and then I'll come back to you. And then we can continue with the conversation.
Mm. And to say, I'm not abandoning our relationship, but I just need time to breathe. Hey, I need a little pause because this is getting too much for me. It's these things we never knew. Hey,
yeah.
Mutuality also. Both couples need to work equally at the relationship.
Yes.
Very important. There mustn't be just one person always talking and the other one always listening. But they must both a more or less equal amount of talking and listening. Those things are very, very important.
Yeah. And I think very important for that, Sukhi, is to create a safe environment with your partner so that when whatever you share, you can be assured that there will not be a negative reaction or something that triggers you back into old default behavior.
And sometimes they will be, hey, because life is, sometimes we just get upset and angry, but then we can say sorry and we can come back and we can make amends and we can ask for forgiveness and we cannot continue with the same behavior.
Yeah.
Or join a group like RCA.
Mm.
It's a Recovering Couples Anonymous group. You can find them online. You spell it RCA. And you can make contact. The group meets, it's an online group. They meet Sunday afternoons for an hour and a half where couples can share their pain and their stories. It's for both, if both couples want to grow in the relationship, irrespective of what the problem is, and they're willing to, or also especially if people are struggling with addictions and each one is in their own recovery journey, but often the journey doesn't get together. They're busy with their own.
Mm.
And this is a place where they can come back together and start working as a couple.
Yeah, and that helps them to commit to be in a committed relationship.
Mm.
And it helps them towards intimacy.
Mm.
And that is the goal of RCA.
And often there are sponsors. It's almost like a mentor. That's a couple that had already gone through the 12 steps as a couple. And, of course, in the 12 steps, if we are Christians, we say Christ is our higher power and we work it from that perspective. And they take us through those steps and we can go to them if we have any problems. And it's free. That's the wonderful thing about this. That's why I wanted to tell people about this, because I think many people are not aware that there are groups like these that people could join. And of course, you can speak to the people, to people also if you want to write to us and to get information from us, because Frederick and I are also part of a couple group like that. You can do that at Frederick Suki
at kpulpit.co.za. And listeners, if you want to get to the podcast, if you missed something, came halfway through, listen to the podcast at www.kpulpit/podcasts/intomec.
Into me dash C, like S-E-E.
Yeah, and then just listen to the podcast and reach out to your friends and to those you think need this information.
But don't give up. Keep trying. You can make it work, because God is the one that can restore us and can take away our character defects if we reach out to Him and trust Him.
Thank you very much, listeners, for being with us. And we'll speak to you again next month. Many blessings. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.